We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I believe today we are 2 weeks away from the Hall of Fame game. Will you be there?
Ooh. Can you tell me? Can you tell me how much any of the quarterbacks will play in that game?
I can't even remember who. I know the Chargers are one of them. Who's the other team? Damn it. Mary Kay Cabot joins us right now on the fan hotline. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Who's the other team that's in the Hall of Fame game? I should know this.
I think it's Rams-Lions.
Oh, you tell me the Chargers ain't one of them? Oh, damn
it. The last few years, Mary Kay, I think I've watched the lead up to the game and then kickoff. And then I start looking at my phone very quickly. I see a couple plays. I'm like, oh, that's what football looks like.
It is. Oh, no, it's the Lions and Chargers. All right, I was half right.
Okay, there we go.
Man, I wouldn't have picked the Lions at all. All right, Mary Kay, she's on the fan hotline. She is the Bill Nunn Award winner for this year. She's fantastic. She's going into the Hall of Fame. And she's from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. One, what is the latest, or first I should say, what is the latest with Quinshon Judkins? You wrote earlier this week, Browns are in no hurry to sign him now, and to bring him to camp, he's got to get that legal stuff figured out.
Well, I think that's the key right now. They want him to focus on his legal matter, and they also want to continue doing their own diligence on it. They want to get both sides of the story. They want to know exactly what the situation is that they're dealing with before they proceed. So they are not hyper-focused on getting that contract signed and making sure that he reports to camp with the rest of the rookies on Friday. So they're still sorting through it. It does take time. It takes time. You have to talk to people. You have to investigate. You have to go through the legal system, the process, and all of that. So that's what they're doing right now. And if by some chance they get things worked out enough today that they have him in camp tomorrow, then so be it. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's not going to happen like that.
Mary Kay, obviously there was no reason, at least based on what we knew, and unless you knew something different, there was no reason to believe that this particular player, especially considering he was at Ohio State, he was right down the road, we probably had more access to information. No reason to believe that this would go south. But with all of that said, do you think at some point, whether it's Stefanski, Andrew Berry, the Haslams, I think they're sick and tired of answering questions about this seemingly every year, which it kind of has been almost every year. They've had a player that they have either drafted or acquired that they've had answer questions like this.
Well, I posted a story this morning. I haven't tweeted it yet or posted it on X yet, but I wrote a story yesterday and posted it this morning about some things that the Browns have done over each of the past two seasons, including this mini camp, to educate their players on domestic violence. Now, the point that I make in the story is there's plenty more work that needs to be done, obviously, but they have taken some extra steps, some extra measures over each of the last two seasons to try to educate their players on domestic violence. And the first one was extremely powerful. That happened last camp. It was DeAndre Hopkins' mom, Sabrina Greenlee, a survivor of domestic abuse. Her story is compelling and powerful. They brought her in to talk to the football team last June of 2024. And I embedded the video in my story, and it's an incredible, incredible story. And unfortunately, two Browns players still got arrested for domestic violence after hearing that speech. But the Browns have taken extra measures, and I think that's a good first step. Again, plenty more work needs to be done. This year, they brought in Lisa Friel. Lisa is the NFL special counsel for investigations. She handled the Deshaun Watson investigation. She handles most of or all of the NFL's domestic incidents and cases. And they brought her in this year to talk to the team. These are things that they took it upon themselves to do. So I think that is good. Once again, more work obviously needs to be done. They need to continue to educate, to support, to counsel. But this is another thing to remember. This is a team of second chances, okay? Andrew Berry and this regime believes that players deserve a second chance, that some players deserve a second chance. So they will take risks on guys that have done something wrong or have a charge against them or whatever, if they believe that they can come onto this football team and be a productive member of the team and the community. So I think that's another thing to keep in mind here.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the show. So could they go like to a veteran to replace Quinshon Judkins while he's out, or what could they do?
Well, they could. I think they have to try to figure out what their plan of action is going to be in terms of adding to the room, adding to the pile. They'll definitely look at their short list of running backs and see who's out there in the event that they need to do that. I'm guessing that they will bring in at least one more running back if they're concerned that Quinshon is going to be out for any length of time. And I'm sure they're also working closely with the league to try to determine the course of action, because if they're going to be with him without him for 4, 5, 6 games or so, then they really need to make some alternative plans.
Hi, Mary Kay. Yesterday, Albert Breer joined the afternoon show and said that the quarterback with the most talent on this roster is Deshaun Watson. We were debating whether or not that was more about Deshaun or the other quarterbacks on the roster. What do you think?
Well, I don't even know if it's worth including Deshaun right now, because he's not going to be playing anytime soon. So I think when you're talking about the most talented quarterback on the Browns roster right now, sure, it could possibly be Deshaun Watson. We really haven't seen him out there in a while. But when you put the whole game together, I suppose you could say that, but what good is that going to do you right now? Because he's not playing football anytime soon. So I think you really have to focus on the four quarterbacks who are in this competition and who are vying for that week one start and who are going to try to carry this team someplace this season.
So who would be your leader in the clubhouse right now, Mary Kay?
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
It's a good question. I think it's Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco for the week one start. I think it will be hard for one of the two rookies to get enough reps in this four-way competition to come up the learning curve quickly enough to go out there and face the Bengals on week one. I think that would be difficult. So I'm going to say Kenny or Joe right now, and it might come down to the style of quarterback that you choose to go with in the early going. If you're going with Kenny, you're opting for more quarterback movement. If you're going with Joe, you're going for the explosives. So it's kind of 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other, and you would be choosing a style of quarterback more than anything in that case.
When it comes to the rookies so far, we've been seeing a lot of videos of Shedeur Sanders grinding, working out late night on some of the local fields. We've certainly seen him also show up at some nice charity events and helping raise money, most recently those that were displaced because of a local fire. So he's been out and about. Dylan Gabriel, I haven't seen as much. What do you think so far of the youngsters and how they have acclimated their way here into Northeast Ohio?
Well, first of all, this is the very brief time off that all NFL players have. So there's no need to be in Cleveland right now. The rookies, again, report on Friday. So this was their time to go spend with families and also take care of whatever they needed to do from a football standpoint off the field and work with whoever they would work with. So you can't fault anybody for not being here during this month-long break that these guys have had. But it is nice to see Shador doing what you would expect a quarterback to do during the break, and that is working on your game. And I'm sure wherever Dylan is, that's what he's doing. Same thing with Kenny. Same thing with Joe. They're all doing whatever they need to do to be ready to go when they start camp.
Mary Kay, I have my 2025 head coach rankings of the returning head coaches. Where do you think I have, out of the 25 returning head coaches, where do you think I have Kevin Stefanski?
15.
Did you see it earlier or did you hear it earlier? How did you know?
I just so happened to see it earlier.
Okay, do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Coming off of the season that they're coming off of, I think middle of the pack is probably a good place to start.
Okay, I'll take that. I'm happy she'll take that as well. Thank you very much, Mary Kay. Go ahead, Tone.
If you were to weigh in, Mary Kay, and somebody said, all right, who is going to be dead last in the AFC North when this season is over? And that person happened to be me asking the question. What would your answer be?
It's a great question. It really, really is a great question. I think that I don't even know how to answer that question, because I think that the Browns have more talent than a lot of people are giving them credit for. I mean, you look at this football team and you still have Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward, David Njoku, Joel Bitonio, Jack Conklin, Jerry Jeudy. I think it all comes down to quarterback play. And if they get good quarterback play, then they don't have to end up in the basement. If they don't get good quarterback play, then I think they are going to end up potentially last in the AFC North. So I think it all comes down to that. And I think it's really hard to predict right now how they're going to be at the quarterback position. So I can't really rank them just yet.
Okay, Mary Kay, fine. Real quick, do you think that was there anybody else that you saw that you might have drawn umbrage with or questions to my quarterback, my head coach rankings?
You know, I just scanned it really quickly to see where you put Kevin, is what I did.
Why? If you thought I was going to put him too high or too low, are you planning on hammering me today?
No. I was just curious. I was just wondering where you placed him, and so that's really all I had time for when I glanced at it. I mean, I saw, of course, some of the other ones, and I think you did a pretty good job. I haven't studied it, but
I had Nick Sirianni 8, and I got buddies on the radio in Philly who are hammering for it, like, as I say it right now.
And they thought that was too low?
Oh, yeah. They think it's way too low to have Nick Sirianni 8th overall. I'm like, there's only 32 head coaches in the NFL, so if you're 8th of the coaches in the NFL, I don't think you're doing a pretty bad job. Right?
Right. I agree. I mean, I guess a case can be made that he's coming off the Super Bowl victory and maybe he deserves to be a little bit higher, but I don't think you can argue with it too much.
I don't think so either. Go ahead, Tone. Sorry.
Yeah, I saw that Sauce Gardner just got $30-plus million a year as part of a newest contract, highest paid corner. Denzel, this year, in the next 3 years, is around $17 million a year. There was an out for the Browns after this season. Obviously, they would not be taking that because Denzel has been extraordinary, as you mentioned earlier. So do you think there's going to come a time where Denzel starts looking for that kind of money?
Well, he might. I mean, his average is $20 million right now. So that's the apples-to-apples comparison in the NFL, is always their yearly average. And when you look up salaries or highest paid cornerbacks, that's how it comes out. So he's in the $20 million a year range now. But if it gets to the point where, where they feel that he needs a bump, they'll take care of that with Denzel. I don't know if that's in the offing at this point, but he certainly is in such tremendous great standing with this football team in every single way, on the field, off the field, leadership. You name it. So if it comes to the point where he wants to go back to the bargaining table, then I'm sure they would listen.
Mary Kay, thank you very much for the time. You enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Mary Kay on the Fan Hotline.
Denzel, by the way, 28 right now. So you can bet, right? Denzel, be looking for a new contract? He just saw somebody get paid 30.
Yeah.
He's got to think he is dramatically underpaid.
Yeah, you'd have to, well, I mean, he makes a lot of money. I don't know if he's dramatically underpaid, but he would probably want another contract. I mean, he's up there in the top three, top five cornerbacks in the NFL. I think he still is right now. The only issue is you wonder how long he's going to be able to actually play for your football team because all the injuries that have mounted up. But, yeah, he's still amongst the best. I don't know if there's a question about any of that.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.